I'm not a dumb girl. That's kind of a weird thing to say out loud. But I'm not a dumb girl. I was the first person in my family to graduate from college. I paid myself. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. I was also an 18-year-old who learned Mandarin Chinese. Kind of cool. Impressed with myself a little. I got pulled out of formation one day, and they asked me if I'd like to go to West Point. That's not dumb, girl. I'm not dumb. Dumb girls. Well, when you're not a dumb girl, you know not to get married early. You know not to marry the first person who asks you. I said no to Ken because he wanted to get married before I went into the Army, and I wanted to wait for just my right guy. I said no to Tom when I was in the Army because everybody gets married in the Army, and I didn't want to do that just because I was lonely and scared. I didn't marry Jason when he asked either, when I was an actress, because I was also lonely and scared, and I felt a little bit like a loser. I wanted to wait for my guy. I wanted to wait for my guy. And so one day, over a campfire at Joshua Tree, he told me that I was his one. We'd been rock climbing all day together. He was from my hometown, but we met on the opposite coast. He loved Don DeLillo. He wooed me with books, not flowers. He was so kind and so funny, and he was so smart. When he asked me, I said yes. And we got married. And for a year and a half, I was like the happiest person on the planet. I was like one of those married people who think they like know stuff. I would like look down on other married people and be like, you just didn't wait for the right one. I knew. I had done it right. Like I had waited for my person. At the 1.5 year mark, I came home from the doctor's, and I'd been diagnosed with precancerous cells on my cervix. They called them atypical squamous cells from the human papillomavirus. I went home devastated. It's a lot of complicated words to hear all at one place. When I told him, he said, well, I told you that I had that when I was in college. And I just remember being confused because that's the kind of thing you remember. And he kept telling me that for almost the entire next month. Around the end of that month, he started telling me that maybe I had slept with someone else. And that's where I got it. Right around the 1 month mark, we were driving home from church. It was a really beautiful day. The sermon that morning had been on forgiveness, and so anyway, he started crying. He just started crying all of a sudden in the car seat next to me. I asked him what was going on. And he said he'd known all along, and he'd lied to me. He kept it from me because he was scared that I wouldn't love him anymore, and he asked me to forgive him. I didn't know at that moment that this was like a murder in my marriage. If our relationship was a river, it was like someone had been killed upstream, and every moment from that moment on would have blood on it. Even if you couldn't see it or taste it, there was blood on it. But this was our first big thing in my marriage. This was like the moment where you remember all those horrible people who tell you how much work marriage is and how you have to try really hard if you're going to stay together. So I chose to stay. I went through a year of acid treatments on my cervix once a month. Every month I would come out the door and he would be crying outside the door, so sad that I had to go through that. And I would think to myself, surely I'll forgive him. I'll forgive him soon. I was married for 5,423 days. During the course of my marriage, I developed two lists in my head. One was the things I told myself so I could stay, and the other list. First, I'll go with things I told myself so that I could stay. One of the things I told myself, this is probably going to seem really weird, but on my wedding day, the Northern Lights came out. I was cutting the cake, and somebody yelled from outside the little bed and breakfast where we were getting married. They yelled, "The sky, so everybody come see." Like, literally, my wedding party went outside, and the sky lit up above us. The sky changed colors. On my wedding day, it was so beautiful. He could be so gentle. There was this one day where I came back from therapy. I was just crying. It was like one of those moments where it was just like a cry that doesn't stop. You just can't stop yourself. It doesn't happen often in life, but that day, I just couldn't stop. He brought me to the beach. He just put me in his little Volvo station wagon, and he brought me to the beach. And I sat there on the rocks for hours until I didn't have to cry anymore. And he just sat there with me. And then he brought me back home. He used to put tuna frosting on cupcakes for our cats on their birthdays. We put little hats on them, and we would take pictures. But the most important thing on the list of what I told myself so that I could stay was that we had two boys, two beautiful redheaded boys, so lovely and gentle, and they're my boys. To be able to leave him, I had to sacrifice 50% of my children's childhood, because I wouldn't be there with them every single morning or every single night, and I wouldn't be there every time they had a boo-boo, and I wouldn't be driving home every night to the house where they were. And I really felt like I could endure anything just to be there for that. These are the times that I should have known to go. There was one time he grabbed my arm and he wouldn't let go. He'd made up this hypothetical scenario in his head where there were two sinking ships, and in one was my family, my mom and dad, my sisters, and in the other was him. And he was going to hold my arm until I told him which sinking ship I would save first. And I just thought that was stupid. I was like, no, I'm not going to answer that question. Let go of my arm. But he wouldn't let go. So I said it a second time. Let go of my arm. And he wouldn't let go. He wanted me to choose. So I said it a third time. Let go of my arm. And he didn't let go. And I knew at that moment, to get away from him, I was going to have to pull. And I would be in an actual physical altercation with my husband. And I didn't do it. I let him hold my arm until he finally let go. But I never answered him. Another time I should have known to go was over udon noodle soup at the sushi restaurant, where he told me that he knew me better than anybody. He knew me better than my friends, who thought I was good and strong and brave. He knew that I was weak and fragile and insecure, and he knew me better than anyone. I should have left the day he lied to me and got on a plane and flew across the country to go tell another woman that she was beautiful. I should have left the day my best friend told me she couldn't come over to my house anymore because it was too toxic. I should have left when I stopped being able to pray and believe that my prayers could actually be answered. I've been separated for 155 days, and I am scared every day. I do not know what I'm going to tell my kids when they get older and they want to know how I could have left and only been there 50% of the time. I'm scared because I don't know how it's going to work out. But mostly, I'm scared because I am not a dumb girl. But this is still my story.